right now on VFN TV, what would you do if somebody gave you $5 billion and told you to help someone out? Well, we are going to be talking about the new U.S. Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos, because that's exactly what she asks herself every single day, and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kolesetsky. Well, you're looking at her. She is our new U.S. Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. She's over 65,800,000 children and educating them. You think about this. The Word of God says, you train up a child in the way they should go. When they get older, will not depart from it. Thank God we have a godly person in the education area. As a matter of fact, she is a philanthropic person. She's a philanthropist. Her and her husband, Richard, where she goes by Dick DeVos, they go around. They've been helping for quite some time, helping out with education around the nation and so many different things. But you think about this. What would you do if somebody gave you $5 billion and they told you you need to be able to go out and help folks? Well, their family's worth more than over $5 billion, and that's what they've been doing. They've been really helping us out for quite some time right now. And you think about it, you know, God's called us to be philanthropists, you know, where we're actually going around trying to seek to do good. And you think of, what is the definition of somebody that's philanthropic or philanthropist, you know, somebody that's going out helping folks? Well, the definition of it is a person who seeks to promote the welfare of others, especially by generous donations of money to certain causes. So somebody just going out being kind to folks, somebody out going out to help folks, and if they have the ability to bless them financially, that's what they do. That's what they've been doing. But you think about this, 65 million children, I mean, it's like this year we're seeing things so differently. It's so important whoever is responsible for educating our children. We're going to find out today, that's 21% of our population when you think about it. But you know, she stated, as a matter of fact, on a Fox News interview sometime back that the education system that we're using in our schools today is over 200 years old. We're using that kind of system, and we're finding out, well, why is our test scores dropping down? Why are they dropping down? Well, she, first of all, she is, you can go and see it on Wikipedia, but she's worth, her family's worth $5.1 billion and more. Her father is the one, I don't know if you ever went into your car, your sun visor, you know, and it has a little light when in a mirror and you open it up. Her father invented that. And he has a billionaire off of automotive industry. And she married Richard DeVos, and his father, which is Richard DeVos, I guess, senior, he founded Amway, and he also owns Orlando Magic. And so they're a very successful family. They could do anything they wanted to do, but they said, you know what? I want to help America out. I want to help the young students of America get an education. And she's been working for years to be able to help give freedom of choice to the parents so you can send your kid to anywhere you want to go to school, and they'll give you the money to be able to do that. And so you're looking at her family right here. I think you can see her whole family. If you can take a look at this. And you're looking, this is Betsy here, and that's Richard, and that's his dad and his mom, the owner, well, co-owner of Orlando Magic. And this right here is Dick and Betsy themselves together. I think, yeah, there you are. And this is who's over our education. A Christian woman, a godly woman, and one that her and her husband have done so many different things. And I'm excited about it. You know, she went through so many things when she was going through Congress, and she could be doing anything. She doesn't need the paycheck. She doesn't need the harassment going on. They called her names. The teacher unions attacked her. People that were getting support from the teachers union, certain senators called her every name in the book, and it was just tragic. It's like, this lady's trying to help us out. She's proven it by giving her own money and time, you know, over the years, giving it to many of the people that are in America, and yet she was treated very, very disrespectful. And she's done so many things. We'll make that available, you know, to you, what she has done. But her father, in case you don't know this, her father's name is Edgar Prince. And he's the one that founded the Prince Corporation, and that's where the visors and the different things that were being built. But she spoke after she went through all of that approval taking place at Congress. I don't know if you saw that or not, but it was just, I encourage you not to watch all that, but it was on C-SPAN as well. And she went through it, and she did that for you, she did that for our kids, and she did that for 21% of our population. Because you think, on a previous program, we talked about this, that only 15% of regular church attenders have a biblical worldview of the world. Only 15%. Only 4% of millennials have a biblical worldview. Now imagine giving our education system over to people who don't acknowledge God, don't want anything to do with God. I mean, that's where we've been for quite some time. Now we're turning this whole thing back, and having Betsy DeVos there is so important. Well, she made it to the approval rating. She got sworn in by President Donald Trump, and this is her speaking at the CPAC, introducing herself and talking a little bit about what happened. Let's go. Let's visit her now at the CPAC.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for that very warm welcome. I love you. I love the energy and enthusiasm that CPAC brings. So I'm Betsy DeVos. You may have heard some of the wonderful things the mainstream media has called me lately. I, however, pride myself on being called a mother, a grandmother, a life partner of 38 years tomorrow, and perhaps the first person to tell Bernie Sanders to his face that there's no such thing as a free lunch. The media has had its fun with me, and that's okay. My job isn't to win a popularity contest with the media or the education establishment here in Washington. My job as Secretary of Education is to make education work for students. But today we know the system is failing too many kids. How do we know that? Our nation's test scores have flatlined. 1.3 million children drop out of school every year. And because the previous administration spent $7 billion of your dollars on school improvement grants, thinking they could demonstrate that money alone would solve the problem. Yet their own report, issued as they walked out the door, showed that it had zero impact on student outcomes and performance. They tested their model, and it failed miserably. Now, this is not an indictment of teachers. We all know great public school teachers. My mom was one. Good teachers make a real difference. Good teachers deserve to be honored and compensated accordingly. But the education establishment has been blocking the doorway to reforms, fixes, and improvements for a generation. This is not a left or a right issue. This is an American issue. We need education to work for every child. So let me ask you, do you believe parents should be able to choose the best school for their child regardless of their zip code or family income? Yeah. Me too. And so does President Trump. We have a unique window of opportunity to make school choice a reality for millions of families. Both the President and I believe that providing an equal opportunity for a quality education is an imperative that all students deserve.
I'm so thankful for Betsy DeVos that she was willing to go through all those trials, do all that horrific things that took place, being personally attacked, for standing up, wanting to be there for our children. We think about it. When you have $5+ billion, you could be on some island somewhere just enjoying the sun. But she chose to not do that. She chose to be here and for many years to be able to help with education in our nation. But there's people that have an agenda that she talked about them. And we're going to, after this break, you're going to hear more about them. But think about this. Those that are using our children and our tax dollars and union funds to be able to organize against our children. I mean, really, not everyone, but a significant amount is. As a matter of fact, those who have an agenda with our American education system, they're using it, they don't like Betsy DeVos because she has one agenda, that the children get an education so they can have so they can have a future. I mean, who would want to deprive? Think about this. If this wasn't so important, countries like Afghanistan and other ones that are oppressing people, specifically women, not letting them get an education, they're doing that because they're trying to hold them back. Well, you give the ladies the education, they're going to be competing well with the men in the workplace. Well, if we don't give our kids an education, they're not going to be able to compete in the world. And so she's wanting them to be able to succeed. And Proverbs 22:6 says very specifically, train a child. Train a child. You're seeing it right here. Proverbs 22:6. You're not seeing it.
Right. Okay.
Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Think about this. It's not about, you know, that only works for godly training. Hitler understood that. He began to train up the young people in Germany and eventually flipped the nation and began to persecute God's people in a horrific way. God doesn't say that only works for godly teaching. He says that this is the way it works. And so it's important how we're training, you know, our children up in our nation. They're our future. They're the future congressmen and senators and presidents and business owners. And that's a very important fathers, mothers, and families. But those with agendas other than meeting our kids' education and children, they can't control Betsy DeVos. Those that have this agenda, that the worst case scenario is to have somebody like Betsy DeVos in office, because she don't need anything from anyone. They can't control her with reputation. They can't control her with money. They can't control her with threat. And they tried all that because she's a billionaire. You know, she's just there to help our kids out. And that's why you're seeing this big, crazy demonstrations taking place right now. But because somebody like that, they can get paid a dollar a year and do what they're doing. And we're grateful for that. But what you're seeing is people that use the children to fuel their wealth and influence society. They use the children, the teachers' education, teachers' union, the National Education Association. Notice they're talking. We'll show you firsthand after this break. But they're fueling their wealth and their influence in society versus somebody like Betsy DeVos and others who have that same mindset, that those folks are actually using their wealth and their influence to help others and to empower our children and students for a brighter future. I mean, it's a huge difference. When we get back from this break, you're going to see one of the leaders speaking at the teachers union, and he just says it like it is. He tells it exactly. It has nothing to do with the kids. It has to do with power, money, and influence. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
When anybody preaches disunity, tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, you know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to just say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about the new U.S. Secretary of Education, mm-hmm. and Betsy DeVos. It's so exciting to see her there. If you're just catching up with us, we had, you know, she spoke at CPAC. We had a little bit of that speech on there. We'll make the whole thing available to you on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But when you have somebody like Betsy DeVos, which is her family's wealthy, but they chose to use their wealth to be able to help folks mm-hmm. instead of just going off and living on some island somewhere like some others do. And now she's working for us. The reason why allegedly the teachers union and these National Education Association, you saw the venom coming back on television. You know, senators were talking so disrespectful and hateful. But you have to understand, they have, the teachers union has over $340 million a year at their disposal to be able to fund campaigns for like certain senators. You probably can figure out which one's being funded by how they venom
they
put
respond
out.
To it.
And it's like, this is a citizen of the United States, and she's here just to help out. But she's threatening the status quo, because what we presently have is not working. And like she said, it's like over 200-year-old system, and it's like the Persian
system.
It's been around for, you know, over 230 years, probably 240, probably more like 300 and some years. But she said 200. But they can't make her, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
They can't control her. But it's so important to look at the mere fact that she's even here in that moment as the opportunity to take over this role as a chairman of education. This is a major answer to prayer. As we've been praying for education, we've been praying for our schools, praying for the leaders, you know, recognizing, you know, what we've talked in one of our previous programs is that when we see the shift of leadership, don't just say, okay, hey, hurrah, that they're there, and then sit back. No, we've got to support and say, I stand up for this leadership. I stand up for what they're doing. And we see this, and it's just like, this is a major answer to prayer. It's very encouraging.
It is. I mean, but you think about it, it's like saying, well, we got a good quarterback now. Let the rest of the team can just leave.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to listen to the leadership, because this is a big ingrained and rooted down system that during President Jimmy Carter's administration, he established the National Education Association. It hasn't been here since the Garden of Eden, by the way. And it's grown into this big, huge monstrosity. Yeah, and so now here, you have these parents. Look at this. Now, these are parents. You're about to see something. These parents are in a school district that they know their kids do not have a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. And they're offering a lottery. There's so many, a limited amount of seats for students in this charter school. And so what they do was, to be fair about it, they give all the kids that want to get in a number. And then they literally have a lottery where they just draw the number to make it fair. Well, that's what this happening here, but Betsy DeVos is saying we want every kid in America to have that choice. But I want to show you what's happening with the teachers union, because you'll see these parents, and there are hundreds of them in a line. They're waiting to get in there to see if their kid gets a chance to
go to
a good school, get a good education, don't have to fear for their life in the school that they would have had to go to. At the same time, these grown folks in the union are marching up and down and saying that don't be fooled, abort charter schools. And it's like, these parents are fighting for their kids. You're actually talking about their kids. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this. But when you see this, look at this big long line of parents who are going, I want my kid to have a fighting chance. And then look at the pickets, the guys with the signs. That is the teachers union and what they're saying about these parents' kids. Take a look.
Even as desperate parents in my city lined up hoping to win a charter school lottery that would let their kids escape horrible government-controlled schools, union protesters stood outside chanting, don't be fooled, abort charter schools.
Don't be fooled, abort charter schools.
They don't want competition. They told me things like, competition is not for education. But the opposite is true. Competition gives us better cars, computers, movies, music. It would work for education too, if they just let.
Don't be fooled, abort charter schools. It's like the parents are standing there trying to get in the charter school. They're willing to go to a lottery system to see if their kid wins it. They were against the kid. They're against the children. They turned it into a business for profiteering and making money at the expense of
the next generation.
Of our next generation. And like I said, if you don't educate, if you don't get your education, you're not going to be a breakthrough person, and it's not going to work. Society will be dumbed down. That's why they hold back education in other countries that have tyrants to oppress people, because they don't want them to get educated, because they get educated, then they can do more with their life. Well, you say that can't be true. Well, let's go to actual gathering of the teachers union where the man says it himself. He tells the teacher union, he says, it's about money, it's about power and teachers, it's not about students. And look for yourself. You see a room full of teachers in the teachers union. Every teacher's not in this union, but you're looking at probably over a million, 1.2 million are. And look what he says. It's not about the kid. And he says it. Let's go there now.
And that brings me to my final and most important point, which is why, at least in my opinion, NEA and its affiliates are such effective advocates. Despite what some among us would like to believe, it is not because of our creative ideas. It is not because of the merit of our positions. It is not because we care about children, and it is not because we have a vision of a great public school for every child. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues each year because they believe that we are the unions that can most effectively represent them, the unions that can protect their rights and advance their interests as education employees.
So when you hear somebody say, it's all about the kids, it has nothing to do with the kids. He said it has nothing to do with the kids. And you're wondering, you're thinking, all these poor schools, and they're forcing them to do things they don't want to do. And there's a lot of teachers, great teachers out there. We're not talking about teachers, we're talking about the teachers union. And they're being bound and held back by these same kind of mindsets. And they cannot freely move in the context of that because they would risk this funding mechanism. But then we're going like, oh, this poor school, I mean, they're having to have a transgender bathroom, and they're having to do this and that, and this going on. And it's like, that's actually the agenda of the national, of the teachers union and the National Education Association, allegedly. But listen to what he says. This is at the teachers union, and you're finding out it's actually the teachers that are pushing that. It's the teachers union that's pushing that on our children in America. That's, we're feeling so bad for, like, oh, these poor teachers are being, well, the ones in the union are paying $300 and something million to this organization to be able to cause that to happen. You say that's not so? Well, listen to what he said about the agendas that he's pushing in schools.
But then NEA began to change. It embraced collective bargaining. It supported teacher strikes. It established a political action committee. It spoke out for affirmative action, and it defended gay and lesbian rights. What NEA said and did began to matter. And the more we said and did, the more we pissed people off.
So you're looking, it's like, who would ever thought that not every teacher, but those teachers were the ones that was taking your kid in, saying they don't care about your kid. They care about the money, the power, the agenda to transform society. And the reason why, you know, the former president, all he did was wrote a suggested letter. There was no law put out there. And immediately schools started just rapidly creating transgender bathrooms and all this kind of stuff, like it was like some law. And it's like, now we know why. It's their agenda. That's what they wanted to be able to promote for our kids. And it's like, wait a minute, our kids are not an experiment. That's not what they're there for, an education, to read, to write, learn science, to learn math, and to learn, you know, how to function in life. And it's like, wait a minute, you don't even care about our kids? I mean, didn't you hear him say that?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
And to hear someone say that, what's most important is just, we're there for the power.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's scary.
And we can do it because we have people that will pay us. And let me tell you, the dues, $300 a year for every teacher that's in the union, that's, you know, $1.2 million if he has that kind of $300 million, $290-something million in dues. This is important. If you are a member of the teachers' union, you're supporting that kind of mindset. You're supporting that. That $300, you're thinking, well, I need somebody to represent me. If you're a Christian, God represents you. You can't be a part of something that's having this ungodly, saying they don't care about the kids, you know, saying that, you know, that it's going to go away from the way God would want it to be, and we're training our children up in the wrong way to go, and so they will never turn back because they won't know God. We're one generation away from a pagan culture. If we don't teach and pass the baton to our next generation, you know, America could be lost.
Yeah.
And with 15% of regular church attenders who truly have a biblical worldview, according to George Bonnet, and are practicing a biblical worldview, and 4% of millennials, only 4%, that in a school system that's fighting us like this, this is what I got to say. Thank God for Betsy DeVos. I mean, that's how important she is. You think about it, that she is, you know, she has no strings. Nobody's controlling her. She was put there to be able to take the whole steering wheel of our student. It's not about the National Education Association. It's not about the union. It's about your kid. It's about your grandkid. It's about the future of our country. She's taken their lives and turning them in a direction where there can be student-parent choice, where you say, well, if I have a school in my particular neighborhood, it's close to me, but it's a low-rated school, that it's high in crime, that my kids terrified going there because they don't know, they're more focused on survival than they are actually getting education. And then she wants to be able to give you the money, the tax money that's normally given to that school to you, and you say, I want my kid to be homeschooled, I want my kid to go to this school, I want my kid to go to charter school. You as a parent
has the power to decide.
Yeah, it's a government by the people and for the people. That's your kid. Mm-hmm. You need, and it's exciting. And this is, but you have to understand, you see the mindset, abort charter schools, and don't be fooled, abort charter schools. We don't care about the kids. We want the money. We want the power. Well, they're not going to just let go. They're not going to
like
go,
that.
Oh, you won. We're going to give up hundreds of millions of dollars and give up using your kid for all this kind of stuff. It's going to be a fight. But you know what? Our young people are worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. They're worth fighting for. And by the way, we saw what happened with Betsy DeVos. So that's a dirty fight. It was so sad what happened to her. And I just thank God for her, which means this. We have to pray for her. We need to pray for all the cabinet members, but pray for Betsy DeVos. Realize that she's over, 65,800,000 plus kids, young people, you know, all different ages, go into school, whether it's a charter school or a tech school or whether it's a whatever the school is in your system. Yeah. And what they want to do is turn the education back over to the states. Somebody says, I don't know. That's how America was founded.
Yeah.
It needs to go back. You need to go to the school board and determine the direction of your school. You don't need something mandated from Washington, D.C., telling you this is how your kid has to be educated, like Common Core and those different things. And we've heard so many things now from leaders in the school system. They're saying, my hands are tied. If this happens, like, we elected you to take care of our kids, not to be able to be, you know, stronghold from Washington, D.C., somebody's, you know, forcing you to be in. You know, and you got to fight for your kids. Somebody says, well, we will in 5 years. Well, in 5 years, your 10-year-old will be 15. In 5 years, your 15-year-old will be 20. And whatever education they didn't get, they're not going to get it. And corporations, I know we got to go to break, but corporations today are saying this. They're saying that when these graduates of high school and college get into their corporations, they have to stop and re-educate them because they have not had any education.
Yeah,
not all of them, but the majority of them.
Yeah.
And they have to take them from point one and say, you know, this is an education so that they can function. And because they want their company to make it, I got to teach the young person to be able, I got to give them an education. And that's you spent all this money on education. You know, we got grandkids in school now, but we pay, everybody has property. You're paying taxes every year for your school system. You're paying for it. You should determine, you know, what's happening in it.
Where you want them to go.
Yeah, and where it wants to go. And it's your kid's future. It's your son and daughter's future. You want them to have the best chance ever.
Yeah.
If it's simple about you just getting a voucher and you picking a school that you have peace with, whether it's a Christian school, whatever it is, charter school, you're going to be able to do that. But it's got to be broke loose from this whole National Education Association, from the teachers union. And they just told you, so you can share this program with other people. They just said it. It's not about your kid. It's about money, and it's about power, and it's about influence. Listen, this program is so important, but we're on because partners like you, people that stand with us and partner every single month financially. And what we have for a gift for you, this is a powerful gift because it's specifically entitled, Is God in Charge, in Control, or Both? This is important because right now we have to get this revelation. Thank God that Betsy DeVos didn't just sit back and say, well, God's going to fix it. You know, education's going to come from just fall out of the sky. She got busy. She got her hands dirty. She went in there for years, and here she got promoted to over 21% of our population now. God says train a child up in the way they should go. They will not depart from it. We got like safe zones, you know, on college campuses. Place, I mean, you can't even share First Amendment rights on college campuses. But guess what? Betsy DeVos is there. We need to stand with them. By standing with her and standing with the new shift in the education, we're standing with the future of our country, and you're standing for your grandchildren, for your children, and your children's children. As a matter of fact, here's some more details.
Offer 2027. Is God in charge, in control, or both? Knowing and understanding who is in control and who is in charge is so important and a key to living either filled with adventure and success or confusion, blame, and struggle. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to follow a leader who doesn't understand that they are responsible for leadership. There's nothing more destructive than those who are not called to lead to struggle against authority. You'll discover the difference between being in charge and being in control, or known as free will. When you discover how much God loves you and how much He has entrusted to you, given to you to exercise your free will, you'll begin to understand how God has made you so that you can be the answer to the world, its darkness, and for captive people, an actual ambassador. We want to send this to you for a free gift of any amount. Become a partner today by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or write to us at VFNTV, that's 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PNB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2027. Is God in charge, in control, or both?
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to start praying about this. I don't know what that looks like in my life, but I'm going to start praying about this.
On today's Focus on the Family Minute, Lisa Harper describes what she went through as a single woman to adopt a child from Haiti.
Took me 7 more years until I was 47 to get out that application, and I took it to an adoption agency, and I said, please do not put me in the running for a child who has a shot at a mother and a father. Because best case scenario for an adoptive child is to have a mama and a daddy. But if you have any children that no one's adopting, that will die if they aren't adopted, please put me in the running for that child. Because in that context, if it's either death or a fluffy, gabby single woman in Nashville, Tennessee, I think I'm the better option.
Hear more of this captivating story from Lisa Harper today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Interfaith dialogue is very important because it puts a face behind the belief. Interfaith dialogue is good so long as it doesn't assume that you're compromising your authority and your belief. I will never compromise my belief in the person of Christ or the scriptures unless somebody can show me that I'm believing something that is self-contradictory. So interfaith dialogue compels you to rethink. I was in Bethlehem, Israel, and one of the professors there, he's a head of the Department of Religious Studies there. He asked me if I would come and speak to an interfaith group there at Bethlehem. He's a devout Christian, but he talks and talks because it opens up an honest person to their own assumptions. Anthony Flew, when he was asked why he gave up atheism, he said, you've got to go where the evidence leads.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bringing some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you. We so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. So you're looking at, you know, somebody who has been philanthropic, mm-hmm. you know, for many years now. And Betsy DeVos, we're talking about the U.S. Secretary of Education, the new Secretary of Education. Mm-hmm. And you got to catch an earlier part of the program because you'll be really surprised about the teachers' union and what they're doing, what their motives are. And it's, you know, it's just sad, but so many people, you know, that so many people do things because of money. Their motivation is money. And God said, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money too. You'll hate one and you'll be despise the other. Mm-hmm. And you know, Nigeria, for example, 180 million people living in Nigeria, 80% of them live on $1 a day. And we have somebody marching down the street next to a parent who's fighting for her kid's life to be able to get an education. And they're in the money going like, you know, don't be fooled, abort charter schools. And she's like, she's there for a reason, yeah. to be able to get her kid into that school so her kid has a mm-hmm. fighting chance. And they didn't even care. But we can care. We have a new leadership. There's a new wind blowing. We have to begin to get involved. And so as you think about it, you know, she was able to use her wealth and her family's wealth, and so was her husband, Richard, to go out and help people and give, mm-hmm. you know, schools. And we'll put the breakdown on the torch for you at VFNTV.com where you can see where they've invested money over all these years. But that's called a philanthropic person, a person who takes what they have to be able to help other people out in their time of needs. But you think about it. It's easy for us to look at somebody that has $5 billion and go, yeah, that's just so nice. You know, that is so good for her and Richard. That's real good for him. Yeah, I'm glad they're doing that with their money. As if we don't have any wealth ourselves. As if her father, you know, was a billionaire automotive industry person, and his father, her husband's father, you know, founded Amway, mm-hmm. which is it stands for American Way, but it's a large healthcare type company and services. But do you know who your father is? People say, I don't have anything. You have to understand, the creator of the universe, when you read Genesis 1, go back and begin to read Genesis 1 and take a second look at that, because that's your father. He created the earth. He created the universe. He put the stars in place. He created the shrubs and the trees. He created the animals. He created you. He created man. And then he told you to tells us to go subdue and be mm-hmm. over these things on the earth. And it's like you have access to all that. So you think about a philanthropic kingdom, philanthropic person, that kind of mindset where all of a sudden, I'm going to get the same mindset she has because she's one woman. She stood up. She stood bold, and she made a difference. And we got to stand as Christians. We got to begin to stand up. So you can think about the definition of philanthropic as a believer is a person who seeks to promote the welfare of others, especially by generous donations of money to good causes. The kingdom wealth, salvation, healing, miracles, provision, adopted into the family of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, you know, I have a fixed income. You know, I pray for somebody that didn't have a home. They didn't have a home. And God spoke to me in a dream, and he arranged some certain things out, and he was doing all this. And so my father made sure that the person who needed a home got a brand new home built for them and got it built at 50% off. So you think about that, I don't know, $80,000, $50,000. It doesn't have to come from your pocket. When you pray for people and when you ask God to be able to meet their needs, mm-hmm. that is a wealth transfer where kingdom of God begins to move. God says, boom. He literally took a hold of this contractor, and he says, you know, I will make sure this person can get in this house. And they built it, and they had it priced at a certain amount. And they kept lowering the price, lowering the price, lowering the price, and they lowered the price of the house down to 50% off so that his family could get in there. That is wealth transfer. We just are so caught up in thinking, well, it works better when it's in my bank account, and I have $5 billion, and then I'll go help people. Well, the thing about it, you know, you can put things in your car. This is some things that we do. You know, Pastor Barbara Still led us in this direction, mm-hmm. that you can put a whole bag, like a big major Ziploc bag with, you know, like
toilet paper, toothbrushes, toothpaste, socks, soap, things to give others.
And drinks and different things like that. And you can just stop off and if the homeless person's right there, you can, instead of saying, oh, you poor homeless person, you're like, here, I want to just give this to you.
Practical blessings right there that they can use tangibly.
Yeah, or, you know, give somebody a ride somewhere, or believe God that he can create wealth in your life. God is transferring. There's a shift coming in the economy, and he needs men and women who understand how to manage kingdom wealth.
Blessed to be a blessing.
Blessed to be a blessing, and that, you know, begin to ask God, say, God, you can teach me, train me up to be trusted. He don't mind getting money to you as long as he can get money through you. He don't mind you having things, but he minds things having you. And he loves you so much, he's not going to give you something that you make your God. So you got to make up your mind, I can have God in things, but I can't have things if I turn my back on God. And it's because of love. It's not because of denial. And the thing is that things are shifting. And so we can have the same kind of mindset. Kingdom philanthropic people that are going around doing good. He told us to go around doing good. If you see somebody sick, you know, lay hands on them and pray for them, and they'll be healed. You know, he says somebody's struggling with some sort of demonic oppression in their life. And Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Jesus himself explained to us that when a man is struggling with demonic influence in his life, that you can drive that thing out and it has to leave. I mean, that's a big, that's worth $1 million to somebody who used to be called Legion.
Yeah.
And now they're free and they're able to just live life.
Freedom.
Yeah. And so your father created the earth and the universe and the stars and you, and he's holding everything together. He gave his son for you, that if you accept him making the Lord of your life, he's literally you're a joint heir with the Son of God, and you're an heir of God. Yeah, she's an heir of a father who had an automotive industry. She's doing a great thing. I really appreciate her. But she knows what I'm telling you, that God is a greater provider. He has all the wealth ever created. He's above it all. He created it all. And he's waiting for us to say, you know what, God? I want to be philanthropic.
Yes.
I want to, because a lot of people, you know, say, you know, hey, you know, I wish God would give me $1 million. Then I'll be faithful to God. And God's going, well, I'm trying to get you to be faithful off $100 right now. But if you'll be faithful on $100, I'll give you $1,000. And that's the way things work. When you learn, it says, you know, somebody says, I will actually honor God in tithes and offerings when I get $1 million. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you can't honor him with a $675 paycheck, you're not going to honor him with $1 million, because that's what's in your heart. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And we got to begin to shift. We're watching this teachers union sell our kids out for money. But the question is, we have to ask ourselves, are we selling our kids out for money? Are we saying, listen, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And anything he wants to do on this earth, he can do. He's just asking me to ask him for it in Jesus' name, and he'll bring it to pass. And I've seen it over and over and over again where God does that. Listen, we're going to talk more about this after this break, because we're going to get a different perspective. Imagine you are like Betsy DeVos. You're standing before, it don't have to be before all of Congress in the world. It could just be towards your neighbor. It could be one person. It could be a few folks. Maybe you're a teacher saying, you know what, I'm going to take a stand like Betsy did. You're going to be surprised. I think education as we know it is about to be turned on its head. And these two, if it's actually 200, 300-year-old system, because the world's moving on. And we have to begin to say, you know what? We need to do what God is doing. Can you imagine this? Imagine this. I know we got to go to break, but think about this. There was a day when there was no printing press at all. No printers. You know, today it's digital and all. So only a few people had the Bible. And so when the Gutenberg printing press was created and made, they were terrified of it. They were thinking, my goodness, if you start printing Bibles, everybody's going to have one. Mm-hmm. You know what they were really scared about? They were scared that they were not going to have control anymore. That's it. And the old order always struggles with the, God begins to do a new thing when things begin to shift. And it looks really, you know, looks really crazy when you look back at it, but we're looking back at it. But here we are today, and a teachers union is protesting right by a parent who's fighting for their kids. Hundreds of them lined up for a lottery and saying, you know, don't be fooled, abort the chance for your kid's future. And it's interesting the terminology that they use, because over 50 million children have been aborted since 1973. Mm-hmm. And it's just, things are turning. Things are turning. Join us after the break. We've got to talk more about this.
TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by his resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare his generation? He is one with us, but he's definitely beyond us. He's great in his nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine. He's unique. He's equal with God. He's one with the Father. He filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by him, of him, and through him, and to him are all things. He is before all things. By him does all things exist. He is God. He is man. He's as truly God as if he were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if he were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome back. I don't know if you've caught the earlier part of our program. We're talking about Betsy DeVos, mm-hmm. the new U.S. Secretary of Education, a huge answer to prayer.
Yes.
You know, for years, you know, we happen to be a part of a prayer community that prays on Mondays mm-hmm. For, I guess it's 2009. It was some dark days going through that, praying like, oh, dear
Lord.
We're
seeing continual answers.
Yeah, I mean, one of our prayers, it was so overwhelming as you're seeing what's taking place in education, for example. And we're impacting all seven mountains of culture, you know, and one of them is the education mountain. And so we looked at it, and all we could do is begin to profess
grace.
You know, we just prayed. It's like more things happen when we pray grace.
Yeah.
And God's grace is just being just shifted. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, you know, you can want to go out there and begin to, you know, have a different look in your yard. But the truth is, your front yard or your backyard, but you got to go start taking up some roots.
Yeah.
And I remember some time back when Pat was working in his yard and he had his axe and he was trying to beat all these roots out of the house. He beat. And there's a lot of roots in this education system. I mean, it's just, it's, you think you'd be embarrassed about saying the things that they're saying, but they're unashamedly yeah. saying, you know, the things that they're saying. And so that's good for us as parents or grandparents. We can say, okay, well, now we understand. Bye. You know, we're not going to be a part of that. And the only reason that they're surviving is because the government said that we need President Jimmy Carter said we need a National Education Association. It started out small, and now look at it now.
Look at what's happening.
So anybody that tells you right now, we just want a little small little federal thing right here, it can grow into a monstrosity, right. You know, and it's like, where did this thing come from? And one of the teachers, I'm not going to say who it was, went to the National Education Association in Washington, D.C., and it's like this huge, huge, I think it's an atrium, big, just, I mean, it's amazing what's being built. And it's like, well, why are our kids struggling so much? How come they don't understand? How come they're not educated to the point? Why are corporations having to re-educate our kids after coming through your system? Mm-hmm. You know, when you hear, it's like, why are they going to support? Why would you want to support a failing school? Why not give that mother or that father a voucher and let him or her choose where they want to send their kids? Homeschool, Christian school, you know, what, charter school, some other public school up the street?
The parent knows better for the children than a teacher would.
You know, it's sort of like saying, you know, if you, why would you want to destroy that kid's future? Mm-hmm. Give them a chance. Every kid in America should have a chance, no matter where they're living, no matter where they're born. No matter what's going on, every citizen, every American citizen, kid, deserves a chance. You know, they might not take it, but if some, I'm telling you, it is amazing how many people just needed a chance. I think about Dr. Ben Carson now. He's over HUD, and here he was struggling coming up. His mother was struggling trying to make things meet, but she stayed steadfast with him, and, you know, she'd meet him, read a book every day and do reports and different things like that. I think Gifted Hands.
The book and a movie
mm-hmm. called Gifted Hands, that you can kind of find out about his story. But we need to work with our parents and help them out. It's hard enough to raise kids in this culture today, but when you have a government institution like the National Education Association, Common Core, the teachers unions mm-hmm. that are coming against your kid. I mean, they said, if you missed earlier, this is what they said: we don't care about the kids. Did they say that?
Yeah.
So we don't care about the kids, anything. Well, that's just one person's opinion. But then they pan the camera
to a room full of applauding people, cheering and agreeing.
And it looked like they had had signs for every state. And you could see Oklahoma, that big sign for Oklahoma was there. And it's like, that doesn't even make sense. I could understand if you're making cars and you're trying to, you know, get the best price and get the best product. I could understand if you are, you know, a farmer trying to grow a whole bunch of corn. But you're talking about human beings. You're talking about children. You're talking about teenagers that they're
life.
Human.
And they said it was about power.
Yeah. And it's like, you can't profit off of your brother like that. You can't do that, you know. And a fair wage is one thing, but it's just horrific. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we have enough time to be able to show that. Go back one more time and show this man what he is saying their true motive is. This is a teachers' union.
And that brings me to my final and most important point, which is why, at least in my opinion, NEA and its affiliates are such effective advocates. Despite what some among us would like to believe, it is not because of our creative ideas. It is not because of the merit of our positions. It is not because we care about children. And it is not because we have a vision of a great public school for every child. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues each year because they believe that we are the unions that can most effectively represent them, the unions that can protect their rights and advance their interests as education employees. But then NEA began to change. It embraced collective bargaining. It supported teacher strikes. It established a political action committee. It spoke out for affirmative action, and it defended gay and lesbian rights. What NEA said and did began to matter. And the more we said and did, the more we pissed people off.
Well, that's from the horse's mouth. And if I had a young person, one of my children in school today, the first thing I would ask their teacher is,
are you part of the union?
Are you part of the union? That's the first thing I would say. I mean, it doesn't matter what else you say, because they're a teacher. They know how to be educated. They know how to learn. And it's like, you know what you're a part of. And you can say what you want to, but it's like that's the mindset. And most teachers, I think, aren't. But that's at least 1.2 million are. And he said, we're able to do this because people are willing to pay union dues. That's why he said, so don't be willing anymore. Wow. Realize there's another idea coming. There's another way to do this. You still can make a living, but it's time for us to turn our hearts back to our young people. It's time for us to really focus on giving them the education. They're the leaders of tomorrow.
Right.
And if we don't do it, leadership of the world will shift to another nation. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for the schools, and we want to pray for Betsy DeVos. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for Betsy DeVos and her sacrifice. We thank you for her willingness to go through all that difficulty and all that hardship to be able to stand up and represent over 65,800,000 plus students in our nation. God, give her wisdom, give her team. I pray for PTA organizations to wake up, Lord, and get behind the teachers and say it's time to shift this school back to where our kids are getting education again, where people do care about them. And God, if this union is not going to care about our kids, Lord, end it. End the union. End the National Education Association and get it back to our communities, back to our state, God. But we ask you for this grace over education in the school, Father God. We want to train them up in the way they should go, God. And we ask you, Lord, just like this protester was talking about aborting charter schools, Lord, we ask you, Lord, end abortion. They don't care about the kid. End abortion. We want the children to live in America. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they know. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.